You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and I am the founder of Stop Feeding the Predators, which is a nonprofit organization that helps people who were sexually assaulted when they were children, regardless of their age today. We also help parents whose children have been assaulted, and we help to educate parents, teachers, etc., about ways that they can help protect kids from being abused or assaulted. Today, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. A lot of times when people are sexually assaulted, forgiveness seems to be the most difficult thing to get through. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about what forgiveness is and what it's not. I'm going to talk about who you might have to forgive in situations where you may not realize you're holding a grudge. We'll talk about why forgiveness is important, when you do it, and even where. So the first thing that I'm going to address, because a lot of people have different ideas about what forgiveness means. So the first thing I'm going to explain is what forgiveness is not. When you forgive someone, you do not let them get away with what they've done. If someone wrecks into your car, you can forgive them, but you still hold them accountable. Forgiveness is not giving them the opportunity to do it again. Sometimes a spouse will say, well, you know, I know this happened, but he didn't mean to or she didn't mean to, and it won't happen again. But then they don't make sure that those opportunities aren't available. I've heard some friends of mine go to a church, they say keeping honest people honest. And that means if you know that somebody has an alcohol addiction, you don't leave alcohol out where they can easily get to it. If you know somebody is trying very hard to eat healthy, you don't invite them over when all you have to offer them is cake and cookies and ice cream. So not giving people the opportunity to do whatever it is a second time. Forgiveness does not mean that it didn't impact your life. To phrase that a little differently, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that they didn't hurt you. It means that you choose to let go of that hurt while still holding them accountable. What forgiveness is holding them accountable for their actions, but not constantly bringing it up again and again and throwing it back in their face. I guess the best way to look at it would be if you're constantly reminding them of what they did wrong, you're still punishing them for what they've done. And, you know, you can hold people accountable and they need to make amends, they need to take steps to be a healthier person so these things don't happen again. And that goes for whatever it is, whether it's sexual assault or somebody taking their anger out on you, either verbally or physically. And the other thing that forgiveness is acknowledging the hurt, the pain, the awfulness, and moving on. You know, someone who has been diagnosed with cancer, they do whatever treatments are necessary and appropriate, and they move on. And when the cancer is cured, if it's cured, if it's treatable, they don't constantly stay as a cancerous patient. You know, they move past that, and they work towards being a healthy person. And again, whatever treatments are necessary. So you can hold people accountable and still understand that you don't have to carry that grudge. Grudges are very heavy. And you have to, forgiveness is letting go of the hate and disappointment and the expectations. And it can be difficult, especially in cases of sexual assault. Letting go of the expectations of who that person should have been to you, The people that sexually assaulted me in my life were all people that I was told to trust. They were people that my parents or caregivers or whoever it was that put me with these people, they all believed without a doubt that I was safe. And when they found out that I wasn't, steps were taken to remove that person from my life. And that can be a difficult thing as well, especially if it is a parent who has done the abuse, or if it is a sibling who has done the abuse. And I would encourage people to find some way that the child can stay safe and protected and not have to also suffer the loss of that relationship, of who that person was. It does not mean that they are left alone together because it's all okay and that won't happen again and it's been so long and everything's been fine. You still don't give that person a second chance to mistreat the child. And if there's verbal abuse or manipulation going on, then that person should not still be in the life of that child. Or if you're an adult and someone's being abusive or manipulative, you can forgive them and remove them from your life if that's what you need to do to be healthy. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you don't love them in some way for who they should have been, could have been, might have been at one point in time. But it's important that you find a way to deal with whatever, whether it's the abuse or, like I said, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual assault, whatever. It's important that you find a way to be okay in your life. Sometimes the people we need to forgive aren't the obvious ones. In cases of sexual assault, it seems pretty obvious and clear that we would need to forgive the person who sexually assaulted us. Again, that does not mean that we give them an opportunity to do it a second time, or to convince us that it won't happen again and accidentally give them an opportunity for it to happen a second time. But we also need to sometimes forgive our siblings. I've talked with many people, you know, sometimes siblings knew what was going on and the siblings were not any better equipped to handle what was happening than the child themselves that was being abused. So sometimes we need to forgive our siblings who maybe knew what was going on and didn't do anything about it. And we have to remind ourselves, even if they're older than us, perhaps it's just too big and they don't know what to do. And again, that's why Stop Feeding the Predators exists, so we can help families find ways to communicate, to heal from sexual assault of siblings, children, parents, whomever it is. We may also need to forgive siblings who didn't know. And I know that might sound a little odd, but there have been so many, and it's I hate to say it's almost a standard kind of thing. There have been so many people who have told me when they were children and they were sexually assaulted that they didn't tell and they allowed the abuse to continue because they believed wholeheartedly that it would protect a sister or a brother. And 100% of the time, it comes out years later that that sister or brother was also being assaulted and also not telling in hopes of protecting their sibling. It can be a very difficult thing. I guess that's the understatement of the year, maybe. But we need sometimes to forgive our siblings, whether they knew or they didn't, whether they tried to tell and get help for you and weren't successful, and we're mad at them because we think they should have told somebody else or they should have phrased it differently or whatever. We also need to forgive our parents who didn't protect us. And this is a critical thing in my case, and I'll give you an example. My mom did not grow up with sexual assault as a topic, as anything that happened to her. It was not something that she knew, experienced, heard of. It was, you know, maybe something that she saw in a movie, or maybe there was a little bit of abuse in a book that she had to read or something like that. But if I were to hold a grudge against my mom for not protecting me from sexual assault, I might as well also be angry with her for not teaching me how to build a rocket and fly to outer space. Because your parents cannot protect you from dangers that they do not know. They cannot educate you on things that they have not learned. And when I first started Stop Feeding the Predators, my mom was rather distant, and it's perfectly okay. It's a big and awful subject, and people don't want to talk about it. But I found out after a few years that my mom thought, and she didn't have much information about Stop Feeding the Predators, she thought that it was kind of a mommy dearest, for those of you that are familiar with that. She thought that it was a gripe session for people to complain about their parents being so awful and horrible to let this happen to them. And when I sat down with her one day and explained to her, "Mom, I'm not mad at you for not protecting me because you didn't know what had happened, and there was no reason for you to think along the lines that it could happen. So I'm not mad at you. What you experienced as a parent who wasn't able to protect her child was as awful as being a child who wasn't being protected." I also reminded her that when I found out years later that my daughter had been sexually assaulted, I said, "Mom, when I was assaulted, you didn't know what to do. And as a cocky, arrogant teenager that I was at that time, I thought you should have done XYZ, and I was mad at you because you didn't handle it the way I thought you should have handled it. So when I was an adult and found out that my daughter was being sexually assaulted, of all the people in the world, that arrogant, cocky teenager who knew it all should have come out in me and known exactly how to handle the situation. And the harsh reality is, I didn't have any idea what to do." I talk with people about training, you know, when you're training for different things, fire drills or Navy SEALs. I'll use this example. You have a Navy SEAL, and those men and women go through some incredible training with just, you know, building up their stamina to be able to endure so many things that us quote-unquote common normal people would never even think of, you know, having to train your body to be able to, you know, control your breathing, to, you know, calm your heart rate, you know, settle your stress level when your adrenaline is starting to rush. You have to train to learn how to address all of these normal body functions under times of stress and crisis. And you have to find a way to calm yourself, control yourself, be able to respond with the training that you have and not just lash out, you know, it's on and charge in and attack, unless that's what you've trained to do. But I make sure people understand, even with all of that training, if a Navy SEAL person is sitting in their living room and someone breaks in with a gun, starts shooting at their child, their dog, whatever, they still are going to react like a common average normal person. Because when it is your home, your family, or you personally, it changes the game. It's completely different. I know people that do tactical training for hours and hours, and they are so precise in exactly what to do next. And yet, you know, their five-year-old comes to them with a splinter in their hand and the tears pouring down the baby's face, you know, sorry, baby, five-year-old, not really a baby, but, you know, tears pouring down their face. And we're beside ourselves. We are so overwhelmed with the pain that our child is feeling, and we want to make it better. We want to fix it and make them okay. We can see their fear. And we react like normal, common people. All of that tactical training, all of those hours of calming ourselves and preparing for crisis, it pretty much goes out the window when it's your own family, when it's your own kid, your own mom, even, you know, hamster, bird, anything. Because when it's happening to you, it is different than when it's happening to someone else and you are in charge of rescuing. Because when it's happening to us, are we the rescuer? Are we the protector? Are we the person that fights back? And in all of the different trainings that we've received over time become kind of blurred, and we're not exactly sure what our role is. Now, that's not to say 100% every single time, every single person, but it is often, and I'd like people to keep that in mind. The other person that we need to forgive is ourselves. And this is not about victim blaming, but we need to forgive ourselves for being vulnerable and trusting someone that we should have been able to be vulnerable to and someone we should have been able to trust. A lot of times people come and talk with me and they say, I shouldn't have trusted him. I shouldn't have let him come with me. I shouldn't have let him in my house. And again, with my mom, if you don't think that this kind of thing, whatever it is the forgiveness needs to be given for, if you don't think this kind of thing happens, it's difficult to protect yourself from it. And we cannot walk around with hardened hearts and grudges on our shoulders and anger and mistrusting everyone. We can't live that way. We weren't designed to live that way. That's a very unhealthy, unhappy way to exist. And when we forgive ourselves, we need to possibly say to ourselves, I did the best I could under the circumstances that I had. I made the best decisions that I could with the knowledge that I had at that time. And that's another big one for a lot of people. They think that what they know today at 20s, 30s, 40s, or older, they think that what they know now is the same as what they knew then. And people very often forget that when they were children, they didn't know that people could be mean to them until people were mean to them. And then they learned, oh, people can be mean to me. You know, and until you realize who you were when the abuse happened, it can be difficult to forgive yourself. For me, I saw my daughter's child, so this was my grandchild, and I said, how old is she? And my daughter said, she's 3. And tears just started rolling down my face. And I said, and again, the child was out of earshot, I said quietly to my daughter, don't take this the wrong way, but there's nothing sexy about your little girl. And my daughter said, well, I would hope not. And then she saw that I was crying. And I said, you don't understand. Oftentimes, when I think about the abuse that I endured as a child, starting when I was 3, I forget that I didn't have curves and breasts. You know, I forget that I was a little child. I was not, you know, teenager with big boobs. I wasn't, you know, that 40-year-old lady with all the hair. I was a little kid, trusting and loving and vulnerable. And I need to forgive myself for thinking that I should have done something differently when I didn't have any knowledge or any skills to handle things any differently than exactly how I did. When you should forgive is when the hate, disappointment, when the burden is too heavy for you to carry any longer. When you find yourself hating or being mad at whoever, when you find yourself doing that more often than anything else, that's when you need to let it go. Forgiving someone shouldn't wait until they're on their deathbed or there's a horrible accident and you think you may never see them again and you think, you know, I'm going to let this go. I've got to forgive them and let it go. Forgive them for you. And oftentimes people don't even see the person that they're giving the forgiveness to. And that's because the forgiveness isn't about them. It's about you. It's about letting go of all of that stuff that shoulda, coulda, woulda been, and finding your place in the world, finding your strength and your healing, and finding your way to make a positive contribution to the world. And the most important thing of why we should forgive, because a lot of people think, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I hate them. They did that to me. I never want to see them again. Okay, don't ever see them again. That's fine. But we have to forgive because it will take a toll on us if we don't. It will take a toll on your health. Your physical body may have ailments related to the stress that you're carrying with this hatred, with this anger. It frees your stress level when you forgive someone. I've had many people say to me, I didn't realize how much that hate was weighing me down until I let go of it. I said before, grudges are just too heavy. When you're angry at the world, you're no ball of sunshine, and you go around other people and you're mad and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're critical and you're possibly mean. And you may let people take advantage of you because you think that you're not good enough. I mean, look at all this crap that's happened to you, excuse the expression. And maybe that's just how it's always going to be and you should just get used to it and put up with it and, oh well, that's how it is. But that's what you need to let go of. That's part of the forgiveness. Of the other person and of yourself. You need to let go of the hurt that they caused. Now, don't get me wrong. You do need to feel, acknowledge that hurt and pain, acknowledge the awfulness, admit out loud or to a person that you trust, or call Stop Feeding the Predators, 614-403-4545. Call me up. I'm a total stranger. I don't know. I don't call the numbers back that call us, so your privacy is respected. But call up and say, I've been mad at myself for so long because I didn't do this, that, whatever. I've been mad at so-and-so because they did this and that. And again, no graphic details of sexual assault. You can say to me, my brother was mean to me. And it doesn't matter if he never shared his lifesavers, or if he sexually assaulted you, or if he opened your Christmas presents before you. It doesn't matter what he did. The point is, he was mean to you, and you are carrying around, I'm mad at my brother because he was mean to me. And perhaps he still is. And as long as you have the thought and feeling, my brother's mean to me, he's probably going to keep being mean to you because you're expecting it. And it's not our fault when someone is mean to us under those conditions. It's their fault for being a mean person. But we do need to find a way to let go of being mad at people for things that happened in the past, whether the past was last week or 20 years ago or longer. But let go of it while still holding the person accountable. Now, don't torture them forever. You beat my puppy with a broom. Okay, you know what? That's a pretty horrible thing. But if we're talking 20 years later, it's time for you to acknowledge the pain that you felt, the incredible grief that you went through, the hatred for the person who did it, and move past it. It's very difficult to love fully and completely and trust fully and completely the people that we ought to when we're busy carrying grudges and anger from people that weren't worthy of our trust. When it was discovered that my children were being sexually assaulted, a lot of people came to me and said, "How is he still alive? How is your ex-husband still alive? How did you not kill him?" And for me, what made the most sense is that he was going to be going to jail for what he had done to them. If I killed him, he would be dead and gone, and I would be going to jail for what he did to them. And that would mean my children would have no one to raise them. Both of their parents would be gone. And don't even bother with that argument of, you know, no court would hold you accountable. Yeah, they will. And more importantly, my children would hold me accountable. You know, by not killing him, my children know what he did. They know that it was not the children's fault. They know that it was not my fault. It was his fault for being the aggressor. It was his fault for taking the action of assaulting. And when people would say to me, "How did you not kill him?" The only thing I could say that would help them to truly understand where I was and who I was is I said, "I love my children more than I hate him." Now, if you think about a mom who discovers that her children are being sexually assaulted by her husband, you know how much hate is there. And if you don't, you might be able to imagine. And if you're a child and your mom doesn't know, trust me when I say, regardless of her reaction or lack of reaction, when she finds out, that hate is immense. When you have to admit to yourself what your spouse has been doing to your children, and you feel completely helpless to protect them, and you're kicking yourself for all the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and you don't know how to make amends to your child, you don't know how to fix it, the hate trickles over onto ourselves. Because not only do we hate him for what he did, we hate ourselves for not knowing it sooner, for not suspecting it. We hate ourselves because we didn't protect our children. And again, we have to look back and say, with the knowledge that I had, with the information that I had, I made the best decisions I could for who I was at that time. And we grow and we learn, and you know, as adults, we don't pee our pants, we don't walk around with our shoes untied, we don't go for days on end eating nothing but Twinkies and cookies, because we have learned what's good for us and what's not. And I would encourage everyone who's listening now, forgiveness is good for you. Forgiveness lets go of the hate and the anger and the disappointment while still holding the person accountable. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and I'd like to offer that healing starts with forgiveness. Healing starts with you. Healing starts here.